Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Is any one of you here?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good
morning.
Good. Well, welcome to Christian Baptist Church. It's a beautiful spring morning. Hope the weather holds. Let's just go through a couple of announcements before we get into our time of worship. There is another letter from the Grove family, Dan and Melody there. Read through that letter, not during the sermon, but take it home and read through it. They're doing some very important work in Bangalang and Cameroon, Bible translation, and it's very difficult and challenging work, and there's travel involved for Dan coming up. So let's just keep him and Melody in our prayers. The Keynotes Choir, there's a notice in the bulletin, Keynotes Choir event coming up, and the Joy Group as well coming up in this week, or next week, May the 17th, at 12 here at the church, and the Keynotes Senior Choir is on Sunday, May the 13th at 3 o'clock. The information is there in the bulletin for you. Our church picnic is going to be on Sunday, June the 24th. We're going to try and make this a special event. Myrna, our secretary, has decided that she needs to retire from working here. She's moving out to the East End, and so traveling up to the church office would be just not wouldn't work for her for that distance to come. And she is, believe it or not, she is 81 years old. So, you know, it's a life well lived and well worked. So she's a fantastic secretary for us. So we want to make June the 24th also a time of celebration and give her a little gift from the church and wish her well in the years ahead. So June the 24th will be our church picnic and the send-off for Myrna. Also asked Myrna to put in that little list there at the bottom of that first page under the order of service of just so you know that the church facilities get busy because there are lots of groups who make use of our facility because we're in the middle of town. We're in the middle of the old downtown Newmarket. So Alcoholics Anonymous, Upper Canada Choir, Youth Unlimited, the Great Canadian Drama Group, they all come and use our facilities. No money donation. To help with heat and hydro. So you should know that the community does use our facilities and they use them quite a lot. So I'm going to hand it over now to the praise team to call us into worship.
Good morning. I missed you.
You've already done that.
I did. I missed you guys very much. I was gone for tax season. I made it through another tax season, so yay! But yeah, I missed this. So yesterday, the youth group, we all went to this event called Reboot, and it was put on by RZIM, which is Ravi
Zacharias
Ministries. And it was in Mississauga, and I can't remember the name of the church. George, what was the name of the church that we were at?
City Center Baptist Church.
They hosted it, and essentially it was an event where it was all day, 8 to 4, very intensive, and it was an event where we could all get together and just really be open and ask some really, really big questions. They answered really, really big, meaty questions, and I'm so glad that they actually kept it really, really, really heavy topic-wise, rather than, because some youth events, they can kind of just lighten it up and be really broad-based, but no, this one was talked about very heavy topics, and I think a lot of places tend to forget how mature and how smart the youth can be. And how they actually are ready for topics like that, especially our youth group. Our youth group is very ready for topics like that, and we talk about it every other Sunday. We talk about big issues. So we all went, and it was really good. Basically, there were a few different speakers, and they would speak on a certain topic, and then we'd break. The adults went into one room, and the youth had a choice of different chat rooms, that they called them, where you could go and ask more questions. And it was really like you could ask anything and anything at all, and nothing was off the table. And it was amazing. My biggest takeaway from it, from the whole every discussion and all the chats and everything, was really a question of, you know, life is going to throw stuff at you. You know, life, the world is going to happen around you. God is going to let good things happen to you. God is going to let bad things happen to you. What is your response going to be? How will you respond to those things that happen to you in life? Will you respond biblically? Or will you respond worldly? Will you respond with your own selfish desires, or to respond by the truth of the Bible? And even more importantly, no matter what way you respond, whether you respond biblically or you respond worldly, God loves you, and He will always love you, and He will always welcome you with open arms, no matter what. So, let's respond today to that love, to that amazing unconditional love that God offers us. Let's respond to that through worship and through prayer and through praise. Psalm 113 reads, "Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. Where I too speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare." Let's pray. Dear gracious, loving God, you are true love. You are our true love. And we thank you for that love. Lord, we ask you to forgive us when we don't hear you in those non-neutral moments. And we ask that you don't stop talking to us in those non-neutral moments. Lord, we thank you for everybody here today, and we pray that you can open up our hearts and fill it with your spirit of love so that we can pour it out onto the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord, we gather here today to give you thanks and praise for all that you have done for us and continue to do for us, in us and through us. Lord, we now return to you these tithes and offerings as our offering to you, our return of praise to you. We ask you to bless them and multiply them, and show us how to use them wisely and prudently for your kingdom work here in Newmarket and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The children come forward to the front pews. How did you get here today, Andrew?
Yeah.
You drove?
Did you drive?
Nodding. You drove the car?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How did you get here, Liam?
You drove.
You drove? How did you get here?
I flew.
You flew?
He flew.
Yeah, let's go.
Your parents drove you, right? Do you know how a car works? You have no clue? Stick the key in the ignition, turn it in. It makes a noise and it just goes. Sorry.
How are you going to get home?
Your parents are
going to drive you. Dad's going to drive you home, Liam? Mm-hmm. Are you driving home in the car?
My mom's going to drive me.
Who?
My mom.
Oh, okay, good. Do you trust your mom to drive? Do you trust your dad to drive?
Yeah.
Does he know how to drive? Is he a good driver? Okay. But you have no clue how the car works, right? You just go on with complete trust that the car will work and that mum and dad knows how to drive and is going to get you there safely.
Yeah.
You know, life is a lot like that. That we have to trust God, that He knows what's going on in our lives and He's going to get you where He wants to get you safely. Even though we can't see what He's doing, okay, we put trust in Him. Take care of our day today and tomorrow and all of our tomorrows. Do you do that, Liam? You're starting to now, right?
Yeah.
How about you guys? You put trust in God? You do? Are you sure? Even though you can't see what He's doing? Even you don't know how He works? Everybody else get that? We have no clue, do we? We have no clue, but we trust Him. We trust Him. He's taken us so far. For some of us, that's longer than for others. But He's taken us so far, and He'll take us the rest of the way. Let's pray. Father God, I do give You thanks for these wonderful, beautiful, bright children. They are a blessing to their families and their homes and to each other. Lord, bless them as they go downstairs today. Lord, may Your Spirit guide them and bless them and give them hope and trust that God has them in His hands and will guide them every day of their lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Witnesses and before You and to each other. Lord,
with joy. They'll learn to love you and to love each other more and more each day. Lord, we pray for our Grove family, for Dan and Melody in Cameroon, Lord, and the travel that Dan's going to be doing this coming week. We ask for your protection on them. We ask your protection on their home in Bamlang. And we ask you that you will keep the enemy away and let your work of translation continue in that area and in that community. Lord, they are fulfilling the commission of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, to every nation. Lord, so bless them in that endeavor, I pray. Now, does anybody here have a particular prayer request you'd like to share that we can all pray for?
Healing for Robert.
Yeah, little Robert had a little accident yesterday and cut his tongue, right?
Cut his chin.
Four stitches. Lord, you know little Robert. He's a blessing. We ask you to bring healing to his face now. Lord, keep him free from pain while his body heals under your hand. Hear us, Lord, we pray for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else?
There's a Christian woman, Mrs. Saga, named Tammy Graham, who took a stand for Jesus.
Yeah.
And was forced to withdraw.
Okay.
Just pray for her and her ministry.
Okay. Tammy Graham, yes, she was running for the leadership. Yes, Lord, we ask you to bless Tammy. She did take a stand, and Lord, she took a stand for truth. And Lord, we know that we're living in dangerous times for the truth. So we pray your blessing on her for comfort and let it be confirmed that she is doing the right thing. But Lord, what about all the other men and women in politics and in leadership in our country and other places who stand for the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel? Lord, we pray that we will be encouragers and supporters of those people, Lord, and that they will be surrounded by your protection. Send angels of protection to guard those men and women who stand for the truth. Lord, we pray against the enemy and his schemes of deception that are now rampant in our leadership. And we pray that we will see a day when your truth will reign supreme in our country. Hear us again, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, George.
I'm praise. I'm feeling much better. I'm going to get to see my granddaughter for the first time in 15 days today.
Yeah.
And it was such good news when Janice came home early in the week after spending the day there with them. And she said, I think they're going to make it.
Lord, we give you thanks again for the safe arrival of Astrid. And Lord, we just pray for Catherine in the early days of being a new mum and all the struggles and challenges that go with that. Lord, we thank you that George and Janice now can go and visit and see Astrid today. George, and we thank you for healing George of his cold that has prevented him meeting his granddaughter. And also bless them as they meet and gather today at Catherine's house. We ask you just to bless that meeting and that there be a lot of love and joy and hope in that meeting today. We pray again in Jesus' name. Amen. Lisa?
Jennifer from the congregation?
Yeah.
She needs
peace and strength. Yeah, we'll pray for Jennifer from the Chinese congregation who was at the event yesterday. And Lord, we pray that your peace, that peace that passes all understanding, will be with her in her heart and her mind. And Lord, strengthen her faith. Strengthen her and this young woman as she begins her walk of faith. Lord, just surround her again with angels of protection. Guide her steps, guide her path, and protect her. just had Lisa to speak to or George to speak to, and Bill downstairs is teaching them. Robert, just know, let her know that she has other adults that she can trust and talk to. We pray again in Jesus' name, and amen. Okay, let's just take now a few moments of quietness. You've all got prayers and thoughts and issues on your hearts that you want to just meet with the Lord. So let's take a moment of silence and just meet with your Lord now. He's here, he's present by his Holy Spirit, and he desires to meet with his children, each one of you, one-on-one. Lord, thank you for hearing the prayers of our hearts. Lord, I pray a blessing on everyone here, their homes and their families. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Guide them, direct their paths, and protect them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week's message was about being prepared for our daily walk with the Lord, recognizing that we live in hostile territory with an enemy, who Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And we learn through Ephesians 6 that we need the right dress code. We call it the dress code for the Christian walk. We're not talking about dress code for church, we're talking about the dress code for the Christian walk. And I use the metaphor of attempting to get out on the ice and play hockey wearing a sun hat and sandals. And you can't. That's just not possible. We talk about the Zdeno Chara, who stands 7 feet tall in his skates. Some hockey players can skate at over 30 kilometers an hour. And Chara had a slap shot climbed at 175 kilometers an hour. A few years ago. So you step out on the ice wearing a sun hat and sandals, you're going out of the game real quick because you're not dressed for the contest, and we need to be dressed for the contest. We asked why Paul used the image of a Roman soldier in Ephesians 6 and his dress code for his contest, the battle. And it's because the overarching story throughout Scripture, from the very beginning to the very end, is one of battle, one of contest, one of a fight that's going on. And we're locked in that mortal combat with a powerful adversary. Because the kingdom of heaven is broken in to the kingdom of Satan, which is this earth. And the redemption of earth is advancing. In Matthew 11:12, Jesus says to a crowd of people, from the days of John the Baptist until now, which is only a short period of time when he was speaking, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. There's this conflict words there, forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. It's a battle. It's a challenge. So Paul uses the metaphor of a military uniform as the dress code for the Christian walk. And in Ephesians 6, he says, our struggle is not against people, it's not against flesh and blood, it's a real spiritual battle against the heavenly realms, against the spiritual forces of evil, he calls them. But he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. And then he says, stand firm then. And then he goes through and lists all the equipment the soldier is wearing. And all the equipment the soldier is wearing is actually defensive, not offensive. They're all protections, including the sword, because Paul calls it the sword of the Spirit. It's actually our most offensive weapon because it's a very powerful defensive weapon, because it's the Word of God. And when we have the Word of God, we know the truth. We know the truth that comes from the living word, Jesus Christ, and we know his truth from his written word, which is the sword of the Spirit. So we're dressed for battle, but we're told to take our stand. And when we've done everything, to stand. So if we're just dressed for battle and taking a stand, who's engaging in the battle? Where are the combatants? If we're just dressed for battle but stand. In 2 Chronicles, Old Testament story, there's enmity, surprise, surprise, between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Like I said, we read through scripture, battle after battle after battle after battle. As they're approaching another battle in 2 Chronicles 20, Prophet Jahaziel says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you." There's that stand again. An instruction to stand firm. All this preparing for battle, taking up our positions, being dressed appropriately, but not fighting. Who's doing the battle? Who's going to do the fighting? So often we're faced with difficult decisions, or we're going through a difficult season of our lives, lives in a turmoil, we face challenges every day. And it seems like we're in endless battles, endless confrontation, endless conflicts with the challenges of life. Now some of these are our own making. Others of our conflicts are caused by others. But we live every day facing human trials and human tribulations. No one lives the idyllic life. You know, it's all a bed of roses. I wrote a note to myself here, which I said, it's an interesting idiom, isn't it? Bed of roses. Don't roses have thorns? So it's a bed of roses, a nice place to be, or a prickly place to be. So whatever the idiom you want to use, then life is a bowl of cherries, and as Bob Beck said, then why am I in the pits, right? No one actually lives that life. Oh, I'm sorry, maybe I should say, anybody living the idyllic life, everything's just going fine? Well, just me? It's hard, it's hard. Yeah, we only get those lives lived out in TV shows and movies and sitcoms. But life goes on and it can be tough. It can be hard. We make mistakes. Other people make mistakes and conflict is there. Our faith in Scripture tells us over and over again to trust in God, to wait on the Lord, to be still and know. Constantly we're told, reminded, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. It took me personally many years to actually live like I really trusted God. As Lisa was speaking this morning about the youth event, I came to the Lord at a youth event. I was the adult leader.
Did you?
Yeah. It's just, I heard the question. I've been in church every Sunday for about 32 years at that time, Catholic and Anglican churches. And the man that was leading the youth's workshop asked the question, have you ever given your life to Christ? And that was the gap. That was the missing piece. Missing piece. So it took me a while, even after giving my life to Christ, and then I kind of knew who he was, and he was still out there. So in here, but out there. And over the times, I drew more and more into trusting him for decisions in life, small and large, till it become real to me. To actually trust God. Continue working, continue making your effort, continue doing the things you know you need to do, continue to stop doing the things you shouldn't be doing, and trust that God will secure the outcome. That it was God who would do battle for me. When the conflicts arose, certainly the spiritual conflicts in my heart. So we don't give up. We should not give up the fight. We should allow God to do the battle and continue to be dressed appropriately. Some people do give up, but we, people of faith, continue on. And we grow and we mature from thinking that God might do something for us, to hoping he might do something, to trusting he might do something for us, to knowing he will do something for us. He will step up to the battle. The power for living the faith is to walk confidently in that knowledge that God is sovereign and he will take care of the heavy lifting that we have in our lives. He is there to guide, protect, and provide for each one of us who are followers of the Lord. Sometimes God will remove the obstacles. It's as simple as that. Lord, I just can't do this. Would you get this out of my way? And God works miraculously. Sometimes he just says, no, take my hand. I'll show you all what I really need. Otherwise he says, follow me. I'll show you how to climb over it. Other times he says, yes, that's a challenge. Take my hand, walk with me, and we'll go through it together. And you will come out the other side, trusting me even more. So whatever way God chooses to deal with the matter, with the issue, he will do it. And here's where we have the level of trust goes up, because his ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55. We have to learn to live life his way and trust that he knows the right way. We have to live by faith that God is doing something in you and through you as you deal with the issues of life. Then God will start to teach you not to put obstacles of your own making in your path. And how many of us have done that? Put obstacles of our own making in our path and then plead with God to help us get through it. He will teach us his ways. And we learn by practice and by trust that God does show up at the right time to deal with our battles and our struggles and our issues of life. The more we trust and live by faith, the more we begin to experience that peace that passes all understanding. And when another issue comes up, we say, no, I think I've been down this road before, I trusted God before, and he showed up just in time. So I now walk with faith and confidence that he will show up. And we've used this expression here around the church, certainly in the Board of Deacons meeting, God's got this. Big issue coming up, well, God's got it. God's got that. And we trust him for the outcome. That it will be all right in the end. Preparing this, I remember this movie I saw a few years ago, The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Anybody seen that movie? Set in India. Did you see that? Best Exotic Marigold Hotel? Okay. Dev Patel is the young man who's taken over this ramshackle hotel, and he's advertising it to British seniors that they should come and retire in paradise. Well, the hotel is a little bit less than paradise. And nothing seems to be working. And one of the guests comes to the front desk and there's a complaint. And Patel, the hotel manager, he says, everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. And we must remember that too, that with God it will be all right in the end. If it's not all right yet, God's still working on it. And he's still working on you. Most of the time we're so busy struggling that we fail to see God at work in our lives, and we miss the hidden hand of God. We cannot see him working, so we assume that he's not. And we panic. And we often do not see what God is doing until he's done doing what he's doing. Our main passage for today, and I knew I'd get to it eventually, is from 2 Kings chapter 6. And then it's another battle scene, a battle story. So I'm reading from 2 Kings 6, 8 to 18. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God, Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in all those places where the king of Aram was going to set up. Okay. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, one of his officers said. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God, when Elisha's servants got up and went out early in the morning, he saw an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant cried out. Don't be afraid, Elisha said. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, just pause for a moment. Elisha's servant could see very clearly, it was only morning, it was light, that they were surrounded, just him and Elisha, were surrounded by an army of horsemen and chariots. It was very clear to him that the game was now up. We'd go for the king of Aram has sent his army, we're going to be captured or killed right here on the spot. It was just Elisha himself, and that's all he could see. But he could not see what God had already done. But Elisha could. So verse 17 says, Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Invisible to one man's eyes, but visible to the other. That God had sent chariots of fire to defend his men, to defend his prophet. God is always at work. God takes up the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. God protects his own. God knows the battles and the challenges and the opposition that we face every day, particularly in our spiritual lives. To live the holy life. Scripture reminds us that God is with us all the time. Hebrews 12 tells us that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We're not alone. We're not alone. Yet we lose heart, we lose focus, and we don't take our stand. We walk or we run away or we try to solve things our way. But we're not to grow weary. We're to take our stand, we're to put on the full armor of God. We're not to grow weary. So we'd like Elisha's servant that on many occasions we fail to see that the armies of God surround us. And our faith sometimes gives out. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, we live by faith, not by sight. Just because we can't see God's powerful hand working in your circumstances, in your situation. We have faith that he is. Many people have ever yelled out to God, I know I have many times, are you even listening to me? My own one, who to us, admitted that we said to God, are you even listening to me in my prayers? Come on, I can't be near myself and Matt can't be the only ones who have prayed that prayer. Are you even listening to me, God? Because the answer hasn't come. The answer hasn't come quickly enough. And this scripture says, wait on the Lord. Get ready for battle. Take your stand. And the battle belongs to the Lord. If we keep our eyes on our troubles, we lose faith in God's sovereignty over all things. So therefore we put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firmly with the belt of truth around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He is sovereign over all things. Everything that's going on in your home, in your life, in your work, your finances, your relationships, your job, He is sovereign over all of them. Remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for those times when we've struggled to fix things on our own and we haven't left them in your hands. Lord, teach us that you are sovereign over everything in our lives. Lord, remind us each day, each morning before we leave the house, to put on our armor, to take our stand, and let you do battle for us. Lord, forgive us when we don't trust. Forgive us when we rush out ahead of you. Remind each one of us here, Lord, of your tender, gentle love for each one of us in all of our circumstances, for all of our homes, all of our marriages, all of our families. And Lord, teach us to rejoice. Teach us to rejoice that you have us all in your hands. That you love each one of us deeply and intimately. And Lord, let us take our stand, knowing that you do battle for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We now come to our time of communion. We have received the invitation from our Lord Jesus Christ to gather at his table at this time. I put a notice in the bulletin the last few Sundays about the importance of the holiness and sacredness of the communion table, that we should not approach it lightly, that we should be thinking about it during the week leading up to communion. We should be making our confession to our Heavenly Father for the things that we know we are not right with him about, and approaching the table of the Lord in holiness. Holiness. So now I say, all who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who have love and concern for your neighbors, who intend to lead the new life following the commandments of God by walking in holy ways, draw near with reverence and faith, and take the supper of the Lord to your comfort. Scripture warns us that we should not partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. The Lord's Supper is reserved for those who are followers of Jesus Christ. For those who have made the commitment, if you like, they've crossed the line, they've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they've repented of their sins, and they've now committed followers of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11 says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. So now let's take a few moments, confessional moments of self-examination. Look deep into your hearts and confess that sin that's there before your God. John's first letter, chapter 1, verse 9, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we have now confessed our sins to the Lord, he has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. and he has purified you from all unrighteousness. And now he invites you to come to his table to receive the elements. Can I ask the communion service to come forward, please? Michelle is going to do the prayer for the elements.
Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for this wonderful opportunity to gather at your table today. May we now examine ourselves, and please forgive us from all our trespasses, from our hearts and in our minds, so that we may be able to partake to your Lord's Supper, O Lord. Bless each and everyone who prepares these elements, O Lord. In all this we ask in Jesus' almighty name. Amen.
Amen. We get our communion service, our communion liturgy from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says it was given to him by the Lord himself, that on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. He was having the Seder supper with the disciples, and he took the bread and he broke it in front of the disciples and said, "Take this and eat, all of you. This is my body given for you." Let us eat this bread together, remembering that Christ died for our sins. After supper, Jesus took the cup and he said to the disciples, "Take this and drink it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which will be shed for the remission of sins." Let us drink this cup together with grateful and thankful hearts, remembering that Christ died for our sins. Now we can close out our time together with "I Am Not Alone."
Indeed, scripture reminds us, if you read the first chapter of Joshua, to be strong and courageous. Several times God says that to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Those are the words of God to you today. "I will never leave you or forsake you. You are not alone. The battle belongs to the Lord." Go in peace today, knowing that God loves you, knowing he walks with you, knowing he does battle for you. Go in peace today. If you're visiting with us today, I do invite you to come down for a coffee with us this morning. It's afternoon now. Take care. Bye-bye.